blah, 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 blah. Talking over the intro. Yes, Howard.
Are you doing
recording.
That again?
Yeah, okay. We're doing it again.
Yeah, man.
What?
It's disrespectful. I love this song.
I love it too, but if someone's hearing this for
three,
the first time.
Three, four, one. PF Pod!
Good Lord. Good Lord. Our lily white listener base alienated. Sounded like MC5 kicking out the fucking jams right there. All right, folks, this is Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today by Howard Flood. PF Pod. Yeah, that would be the...
That's the name of this show, yeah.
Yeah, that's the show's URL, too. It works out that way. So you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Again, looking up Papa's Football Podcast. And that's all we're going to do for promos. We keep it short. We keep it sweet.
Now let's talk football.
Oh, my God. What a fucking weekend for football. 2 weeks in. 2 weeks in. Anyone that acts like this isn't the sport of kings is a goddamn imbecile. And that's how you pronounce that word. My sweet Lord. Of course, I'm a Redskins fan. And, of course, I had to miss the most relevant Redskins game. And I'm not saying this with any exaggeration. Since their playoff loss. Back in the 2012 season.
Which also ended in RG3 injury.
Yeah, funny how that happens. Everything important, that piece of shit's down, clutching something or other on his body.
But Kirk Cousins came back, man, and looked very impressive in a blowout against the lowly Jacksonville club.
Yeah, for those that missed it, week two, Sunday, 1 p.m., your Washington Redskins hosted the Jaguars for their home opener. And the Redskins home opener. I couldn't have made that more vague if I tried. So, Bob G3, 7 minutes in, goes down, fucked up his ankle. In comes Kirk Cousins. You know, whoever drafted that guy deserves a raise. A lot of foresight on the part of whoever did that. Cousins comes in. I want to say his second play from scrimmage was a touchdown.
It's a pretty pass, yeah.
And the hits just kept on coming. And eventually, we had, the team scored 10 sacks, I believe, tying a franchise record. I want to say it was 3 or 4 for Kerrigan, also tying a franchise record. They were doing all right on both fronts, and they put up 41 points. I do not remember the last time. It was during RG3's rookie year, I can say that much, was the last time they hung 41. Before that, it had been several years.
Yeah, I'll say this. Based on that performance, it's the first time in a very long time I feel like Washington heading into a game against Philadelphia actually has a chance of winning.
I mean, I've felt that multiple times, and not just because I'm some dumb homer. You know that I'm certainly anything but.
You have a slight bias towards Washington's performance against that most hated rival to our north.
Oh, the Dirty Birds?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not a huge believer in Chip Kelly. In all honesty.
Dating back to Andy Reid's era, though. I mean, it's not been a good time.
I love fat fuck Reid, though.
Yeah.
Even if he was coaching a rival in the division, I always loved Reid. Chip Kelly, I still think, is smoke and mirrors, and I do think he'll get exposed. I think Nick Foles will get exposed as well. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying what he managed to do last year will not come so easily this year. And they're already off to 1-1, right? Or, no, wait. They don't even have their second game in the book yet. They managed to eke out a win against the Jags, though, a team that the Skins blew out. So if I know anything about sports, if team A struggles to beat Team B and Team C crushes Team B, Team C going to beat Team A, because that's how that works.
We're going to have a Bills fan on for our fan and focus section, and I imagine that's the outlook he's going to have about the Patriots when the Bills get to face off against their hated rivals that seem to take the division every year.
Exactly. Rock, paper, scissors, what's that?
You beat Miami, Miami beat New England. There you go. It's counted as a
done
deal.
Unassailable logic. So what's very interesting in Washington, let's just say new coach Gruden, Mr. Jay Gruden, I don't think anyone's going to argue that he was the biggest fan of RG3. I don't think there's any beef, but I believe Gruden is a system coach. He wants to get a quarterback who's going to follow his system, which involves dropping back, throwing passes, not being a mobile guy, progressing through your reads, things like this.
I think it's more the other way around. Yeah, progress through your reads and then, you know, take what is given to you, but, you know, don't try to hit a home run every time.
Exactly. RG3, if that's what you're into, RG3 is the worst thing you could ever have. A guy who thinks he's going to get it done every play, fucking hates giving up on a play. Oh, if there's anything RG3 hates more than not sending pictures of his dick to Hooters waitresses on his wedding day, it's giving up on a play and just throwing the fucking ball out of bounds. He loves him some losing 5 yards, doesn't he, Howard?
Listen, I actually defend him more than you. I hate the Redskins, but when it comes to RG3, I have in the past, really, and I still do believe he's a good quarterback. I do look at the situation, however, with what's transpired in this preseason and the first 5 quarters of this regular season, and he really hasn't learned Gruden's system. And so,
but to me, he sounds like Vic all over again, where it's like, look, I'm just trying to learn to go through my reads and not rely on my feet. How many fucking years did you hear that out of Michael Vick?
Mike Vick did it until he went to prison and then finally decided to pick up the playbook.
Exactly. Once time robbed him of his mobility.
Well, he's still fast, man. Don't get me wrong. He beat McCoy in a 40-yard dash recently. So Shady McCoy lost to Mike Vick. So don't tell me that guy can't run. He learned to read the playbook, but it took a while. Now with RG3.
Well, great. Do I want that then? Right around age 30, this asshole finally learns to read a fucking playbook?
Let's talk about this season. The reality is neither quarterback had much experience going into the regular season with the playbook. They've only looked at it for a preseason and now 2 games. And so we're looking at now, it sounds like RG3, his MRI shows no damage beyond the dislocation. So it looks like he could come back this season based on the information we're hearing right now. It's just, if that's 8 weeks from now and Kirk Cousins has the Redskins in a position to get a playoff berth, can you really bring RG3 back at that point?
I will say you can, and not for any good reason, because you gave up too much for him. You gave up too much for him to begin with, so you're going to justify some dumb shit. It's like when a woman leaves her marriage for another dude, and it turns out that other dude is a schmuck. But you know what? She gave up her husband and her house and her kids for this guy. She's way more invested than she should be.
I disagree. I think he's already shown that he doesn't have the durability at that position. It's the same situation right now with Sam Bradford in St. Louis. I know those two teams are now inextricably tied because of the RG3 trade, but the reality is both those teams...
Oh, do you know what I jack my prick to every night? That we get to undo the trade. That St. Louis is just like... Okay, here are the picks back. Give us RG3 because we need a quarterback. Oh, I rubbed my helmet to that. It's just,
you have to look forward. You can't look back. Yes, I think it was a mistake back then, and I still think it's a mistake. The one thing that...
Huge mistake.
He did lead you, though, to a divisional title, and you guys were desperate for one. But that being said, now with a new coach in place...
But at what cost? You mortgaged 10 years of the franchise to fucking sniff the puss of the Super Bowl? To second base the Super Bowl? You didn't get to it. You fucking lost your first playoff game.
What's intriguing to me is that Shanahan at the time was very high on Cousins. And the fact that he dropped a 4th round, they couldn't let him go. If they hadn't made the trade for RG3 and kept their picks, they probably would have taken Cousins in the 2nd or 3rd round. And if you can only imagine with him being the quarterback of the future, it might have been a different story than what we have today. As far as not having lost all those picks. But, you know, you might still be in the same position of Kirk Cousins being the guy that's going to take your team as far as it can go, which, in my opinion, is not the Super Bowl anytime soon.
I'll leave it at this. We're getting back to Chip Kelly, second mention in the episode. That really strikes me as what Jay Gruden wants to do. Take white dude, sits in the pocket, listens to what the fuck I have to say, doesn't try to run on every 3rd play. That's what he wants. You look at Nick Foles, man. Would anyone fight to get Nick Foles? No.
Why has he got to be white, man? Why you got to be like that?
Because every fucking black quarterback I see is the quote-unquote mobile quarterback.
Well, don't you remember Warren Moon?
I was just going to say, you can give me Warren Moon, and that's about fucking it.
Well, Rodney Pete. Come on, man. Come on. It's okay. Just the way that the current
league
is set up.
I'm looking at the current batch of them.
What? You mentioned off-air before the show.
The current batch of these people.
Before the show, you called Russell Wilson a mobile quarterback. I don't really...
He is to some extent.
He's to me, a pocket passer first.
Yes, he is. He would be the porridge Goldilocks chose. Like, I like what he does. Kaepernick is a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, Kaepernick is starting to still, he's still figuring out the balance between just getting enough yards and going out of bounds versus, like, I can hit a home run here. Wilson really never tries to hit the home run.
When absolutely
pass
not.
Protection breaks down, he just looks for, let me just get 3 yards. Oh, hey, happened to break a tackle. I'm going to take 12. That's the kind of quarterback you really want. I think that's the perfect quarterback in the current NFL. You really don't want Peyton Manning to just sit back there and get tagged. You want him to, like, go step forward, take a slide, get a couple yards.
Well, exactly. It's like you're telling me we're playing Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, I'm going to cheat and roll all 18s, man. If I can, sure. I want the guy to be an amazing pocket passer, but when pushed to the limit, he can fucking take off like a thoroughbred, too. That'd be awesome.
But, hey, listen, you actually saw some of that from Phillip Rivers in that victory over Seattle.
Oh, was that sweet. Oh, was that sweet. Oh, to everyone who thinks that the Seahawks are some unbeatable fucking juggernaut. Take them out of that little cheaty dome of theirs. Not just a stadium, not a dome. Take them out of that little fucking cheat hole where the doctors are letting them get away with murder in their piss, I bet. Oh, take them out of there without their precious 12th fucking man. Didn't look so astounding yesterday, did ya?
See, I'm a defender of the Seahawks. You know me. I love that team. And one defense I'm going to have for that team is they don't have to face San Diego again this season.
Well, I don't even think San Diego in particular had their fucking number. I really do think that the goddamn Seahawks are not out of their home environs. In their home environs, they have a crazy advantage. Very, very difficult to be at home. I personally look at it like this. If they don't even win enough games, even if they get into the playoffs, if they don't win enough to cement that home advantage, I'm not fucking rooting for them. I don't really think they've got it to repeat. I was astounded when they did what they did to Denver. Not because I didn't think it was like a good matchup for the Seahawks. Obviously it was. But so much of their success throughout the years has been, look at us playing at home. Was it Quest, right?
Yeah, Quest.
Yeah, right. And then San Diego's Qualcomm. It's the same fucking thing. Oh, so hard to...
But no, I disagree. I think that the way that Peyton Manning plays plays very much into the hands of the Seattle defense.
Exactly.
But...
Because he can only throw these little fucking dink and dunks now.
Just because these guys are white and not very mobile doesn't mean they're all the same, all right, John? Phillips Rivers is a very different
Phillips
kind of player.
Phillips Rivers? Where are you from, Watts?
Phillips Rivers.
Come on.
Phillips Rivers is a pretty good quarterback in his own right, and what he does differently than Manning is really
He's
a focus
42
on...
42, and his vertebrae aren't fused. What
but it's
want?
Time of possession. Peyton Manning, I know some people say that time of possession doesn't matter, and really in ways it is overrated because Phillip Rivers and that San Diego offense try to dominate the clock, and the thing I hated the most about watching them last season is like they'd have the ball for 35, maybe even 40 minutes a game, right? Because they had the ball like 40 minutes in yesterday's game. But here's the thing with the way they actually use clock without scoring. In good games, they're up like a score or two. Yesterday, they were barely up a touchdown. Like, Seattle really did have a chance to come back and win that game at the end. But on the flip side, when San Diego's dominating the ball, they're also like going to be down maybe a score or two on most teams. So the way that they play, they're never too far ahead. They're never too far behind. It's just a very different way of playing that most teams in this league don't want to do it. And yet, that was their formula for success in large part against Seattle.
Yeah, not just that. Sherman, 4 passes his way, 4 catches. Little fucking prick.
Hey, man, that's so overrated. Just look at Antonio Gates being the Hall of Fame tight end that he is, getting 3 touchdowns, man. Show me another team in the NFL that's going to be able to do that to the linebackers of Seattle. There aren't a lot.
I'd like to take a moment to drop a deuce right across Sherman's eyes. Like the paint that Pris wore on her face for Blade Runner, except my shit and his face. Yeah, fuck that guy. After the game, the press wanted to talk to him about the fact he didn't really shut down shit. And he stomped off like a petulant child and then tweeted about it later. A lot of LOLs and OMGs in it, if I recall. Sounded like a fucking girl getting asked out by the quarterback.
This show has a love-hate relationship with him. You mostly hate, I love on this guy.
No,
but
mostly.
I'm going to say, listen, it's possible to go short against Richard Sherman. That's what we learned this past Sunday. I'm a little surprised that Green Bay didn't go at him at all, since it does appear that it does work to actually go on short passes onto his side of the field. So let's see what happens next week. I think people are going to continue to like pick their moments when to go after him. But yeah, shutdown corner, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. If it's that he's impossible to throw against.
Let me decipher. Yeah, it means you don't throw his way because he's shut down the receiver.
That's ridiculous. Nobody's that good.
Well, Sherman certainly wanted us to believe he was for a while. No one stopped him when he was running his big fucking yap.
I am disappointed in talking to the media yesterday. He should have just taken it on the chin. Really. I mean, it's...
I would have had all the respect in the world if he walked out, grabbed his sack, and just went Stugatz, and then walked out. I would have been like, maybe I was incorrect about this fellow.
Oh, man. So what other big story did you have coming out of yesterday?
Well, I loved all the pontiffs, all those who pontificated upon the Ravens being too distracted to get it done against the Steelers.
Yeah.
Back on Thursday, because Ray Rice was such a distraction. And I do not believe the Steelers were in that game within 5 minutes of it starting.
Yeah, no, they look terrible. I maintain that the Steelers are going to be a horrible team this year.
I love how dumb people can be. Oh, Ray Rice is... Oh, I'm sorry. Like, hey, Howard, have you ever been in an office building?
Yeah.
Did your coworker get into it with his wife? Were you unable to fucking work for 3 weeks right. because that happened? Who gave a fuck on that team?
Right.
A fucking running back who's already had his shit year, who's already on his decline? This wasn't Joe Flacco kicking his pregnant wife down the stairs. This is a fucking running back that they'd already started phasing out. And then you got a team who struggled against the Browns to, you know, finally ekes out a victory against them the last seconds week one, and then they're going to the Ravens' house and they're going to win? Fuck off.
I mean, the flip side of that story is that the Vikings suffered so greatly with the loss of Adrian Peterson, who's still in prime form.
Oh, yeah. I love how they get blown out Sunday and Monday, Ziggy Wolf, whatever the fuck his name is like, bring that schvoogie back. He's already reinstated by the Vikes.
Yeah, no, I think I wouldn't have suspended him, honestly. If it was because Adrian needed some time to clear up some things down in Texas, that's one thing.
He had a Neosporin in his kid's ball sack.
Hey, listen, corporal punishment shouldn't be as excessively administered as was in that case. But, you know, it's a very different thing when we're just talking about the idea of, you know, that old form of Texas punishment.
It's just old world in general.
Yeah.
The only people who have shit against that corporal punishment is the fucking, you know, pieces of shit who got off the Mayflower. And now they're here drinking their goddamn lattes and letting their kids Snapchat, you know, dick pics to each other at age 4 using the iPads they got them. I'll tell this story to the day I die. I remember my mom had her hairbrush, and her hairbrush was also used to beat the fuck out of me. And one time when she's got me bent over, I kick up my shin and she breaks the hairbrush over my leg. And my dad came home that night and gave me a long talking to about how bad it was for me to break my mom's hairbrush while she was beating the fuck out of me with it. And how I wasn't a nice son for doing that and to apologize.
So you apologize for your ass breaking your mom's hairbrush.
Yeah, for protecting myself as this hairbrush beat the fuck out of me. And you know what? After that, it became coat hangers and wooden spoons. So joke was on me. Because that hairbrush was a cold beer on a hot day compared to that shit.
Oh, no.
I wonder my balls are flat on the backside.
Oh, my gosh. All right, man. I think we did a pretty good job on this week's games. I mean, other than those four that we just talked about. I mean,
well, what were your stories? Did you have anything lined up?
I mean, other than AP's absence really affecting our outlook on how the Vikings look this season, because he's their franchise. We need to know if he's going to play or not in order to decide if that team's going to have a chance to make the playoffs. My other big story is I was wrong about the Panthers. I really thought they would be in third place in the division, because Newton was going to have to work with a bunch of new receivers, and it would take long enough to get in sync with them, in my opinion, that New Orleans and Atlanta would really progress past them.
Aren't they one of like 3-2-0 so far?
Yeah, nah, like
how Panthers muddled. How muddled is the league after just 2 weeks? I love how fucking messy it is.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, and the Panthers are still the same old Panthers. Like, it doesn't matter if they drop Steve Smith and bring in a bunch of new receivers. Cam Newton's going to have a pretty solid contract year, it looks like. So looks like I was wrong about the Panthers this season. I was right, however, about Geno Smith. I told you they were going to win in Green Bay.
Yeah, and they lost.
See, but that's not Geno's fault. That's Marty Mornowig's fault.
So I heard. What was the whole timeout debacle? You have to understand, I was just in a sports bar, kind of drunk. If you followed me home after I drove, yeah, a little tipsy.
So the Jets travel to Lambeau, and in the fourth quarter, down a touchdown. Geno Smith on a fourth and...
But they had been up. Don't forget that. They had been up, what, 21-6 or 21-3?
It was 21-3 at one point in the game.
It was absurd. I was looking up and just laughing my ass off. And then I was looking at the other TV, and I saw San Diego shoving it up Seattle's ass. And I was just, like, mashing my little feet like a happy baby. I'm like, ah!
Well, the Jets were able to make a final drive in response to Green Bay's comeback, where Geno on, like, fourth and long was able to complete a 50-yard pass.
Jesus, nice.
That would have tied the game, except Marty Mornowig called a timeout on the sideline half a second before the ball was snapped. So an official heard it and started to wave his hands and blow the whistle. Nobody heard it, though.
Yeah.
And so the play went forward, and everybody played as if they didn't know the whistle had been blown. Mm-hmm. So Jets players thought there was a touchdown. Rex Ryan even thought there was a touchdown, but no, it was waved off. And that was pretty much the end of the Jets' comeback. So it was a very unfortunate moment because I had called
that
upset.
They're out of timeouts, right? So wasn't it just like a penalty or did
they? No. It was just they lost the touchdown and then they had to replay fourth down and didn't convert.
Oh, he didn't throw a second 50-yard fucking bomb? Yeah. That's a shock.
Yeah. So I still have that team beating the Patriots twice.
Wow.
Well, maybe not twice. I'll put it this way. I think they're going to have a better record in division than the Patriots.
Wow, some big yellow melons between those Korean legs, buddy.
So I got the Jets having the best record in division within the AFC East. So those are my two stories, along with finally Cincinnati's just looking like a team that's going to snatch a bye spot away from either the Patriots or the Broncos. I think Cincinnati's going to have to, they're going to potentially make it all the way to number one spot in the AFC. So.
I can't. Well, no, Denver still exists.
They did not look good yesterday, man. They did not look good on Sunday.
Were they hosting?
Yes.
No shit. They were at Mile High?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll still say, I'll give you the whole line about it being divisional, so you never know.
Just going back to the difference between Rivers and Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's never managed the clock well. And Monty Ball did not look like a weapon who, throughout the season, is going to help them run clock. So I just don't buy that team being as good as they were last year.
Well, their litmus test is next week, man. They're going into Seattle. I think that's got to be a prime timer, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just a 4 p.m. game. All right, everyone. This is the Fan in Focus segment. Howard, we settled on that name for it, right?
Yeah. Last week, I think we figured out that your improved version of the name is better.
This week, that fan would be, let's just say, your buddy Nate. Nate's whole shtick, again, Fan in Focus, we talk to guys from a specific town. They just root for a specific team. Very simple. Last week, we had Josh Burns. He's a big Browns guy. This week, Nate, you're actually from Toronto originally, and you are a big Bills fan, right?
Yeah.
And I will just toss this out here. Nate is not completely without radio credentials. You did work for the king of all media, Howard Stern, 10 years ago.
Yes. Back in the day.
I will have to hear those stories off air. So, Nate, what is up,
what
sir?
What an introduction. I'm not celebrating another Bills victory.
There you go. The Bills, again, a surprising 2-0 to start the season alone atop the AFC East.
Say that again. Atop the AFC East.
Yeah.
Divisional leaders, man. I mean, how often are they really going to be able to keep this up, man? It seems like every year they start off, and yeah, it seems like they can win a couple games in September, but then they don't win the rest of the year.
The thing that I think is different this year is that the teams that they're beating are quality opponents. Chicago proved that they're still a good team going this week down to San Francisco and winning.
That was an impressive win.
New England is New England.
But you haven't played New England yet, see? That was Miami who beat New England.
We played Miami, yes, exactly.
Again, Nate, bringing it. So, yeah. Now, overall, in Buffalo, we have two different stories we can talk about. Let's do both. The first thing, again, a surprising 2-0 to start the season. I don't think anyone who watched the Bills in the preseason, really expected much out of them. I know, Howard, you just said that, in September, you can't expect things out of them. I would disagree. I would think the Bills are one of those teams that you do not have to know much about NFL football to know that the Bills are out of it before it's begun, typically, and really don't even have good preseason showings for the most part. Now, Nate, was this any exception this year, or they sucked this year too?
No, they were, I'd say, one of the worst teams this season in preseason.
There you go.
You think watching the Bills that preseason means nothing. Except when you're watching a team that played as shittily as they did.
Yeah, watching E.J. Manuel this preseason was awful. E.J. was just terrible.
It was scary.
And yet,
I thought the Bills were given, who did we trade him to? The Browns. The Browns, like a top three pick for the Sammy Watkins trade when I saw E.J. play.
Now he's looking good.
Who, Mr.
Watkins
Glass?
Watkins looking great, yeah.
I mean, is he
every single time he catches the ball, he goes to the sideline.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my fucking ribs.
Player two, but,
there hasn't been a man with shittier ribs since Adam.
You know, when he's in there, he's catching passes and looking good. So.
Well, that's can't nice. Yeah, C.J. Spiller, I believe, came through yesterday as well.
C.J.'s okay. They got to get him the ball outside more. He needs it in space, I think. Obviously, on the kickback, he got a little bit of space, and you can see his speed.
Now, Nate, what's coming up for the Bills for the rest of their schedule? Like, when, realistically, when do the wheels fall off here? I know it's week two, and you're the kings of this bitch right now. When does shit get bad?
Well, let's look ahead. We have the Chargers, the Texans, the Lions, the Patriots. It doesn't get any easier for us.
Okay, so between the Chargers and New England, I think those are two games that jump out at me.
The world-beating Chargers, the slayer of champion Chargers, address them properly, sir. Give them their goddamn due.
Listen, that we don't need to get into Seattle at this point. That was a blip that we need not acknowledge until about a month from now, is my view. But let's talk right now about this upcoming matchup with New England and the Bills, because that, to me, is going to be the barometer whether either of these teams is good.
It's been the barometer for 15
years. Well, that's in 4 weeks.
Well, the new thing for me is, like, even if the Bills beat New England, does that mean the Bills are good, or does that just mean that New England stinks?
Well, what if we beat the Chargers next week? We're playing
that means nothing. That means absolutely nothing. The Chargers are the most fickle fucking team in football over the last 5 years.
Let the Bills be 3-0, man. Come on. That's a pretty good start to a season.
Look, let them be whatever. I'm just saying, if you're using it as a barometer, it ain't going to work.
Hey, listen. Yeah. At this stage, like, as much shit as you're giving Bills fans, like, I think the Redskins have been, like, far worse a team for the last decade, if not longer.
I would not say that, actually. I believe the Bills have not been to the postseason in, what, 15 years? How long has it been? It hasn't been
99.
Since... Okay, so, yeah, it was a little after the 0-4, which to me is still one of the most impressive things I've ever seen happen, and not in the right ways, in all of NFL football. But yeah, man, no, the Skins have been back multiple times. If you want to talk playoff futility, the Bills are one of the few teams that the Skins get to put a shit hat on.
But it's memorable, at least, you know, when you lose the Music City Miracle, like that kind of thing, I will always remember where I was when that happened. Like, I look at Redskins games, I'm like, I don't even register when you guys lose in the playoffs because it's just assumed it will be a boring game where you guys don't even deserve to be on the field.
What are you talking about? That last loss was horrific. RG3 looking like a horse who's about to get a shotgun pill to the head.
Oh, man.
On the field. Come the fuck on, man. That was like the story of the postseason that year.
Yeah, actually, Nate, off air, you were asking me about RG3. What were you saying about them? I know you caught a bit of that game yesterday.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if you were a betting man, would you say RG3 starts his next game in a Redskins uniform?
Oh, yes. Short answer, yes.
Huh, interesting.
I'm sorry. Dude, it's like when you buy the fucking BMW for $60,000 and then it turns out to be a fucking lemon, and then your younger brother gifts you a Civic that has 130,000 miles on it, and you know what? The fucking Civic is still a Warrior. It's still a trooper getting you from point A to point B. Are you just going to go, oh, fuck my $60,000 BMW? No, you're not. You're going to pour more money into that piece of shit than you ever should have because it initially cost you $60,000. So, yeah, man, there's no way
you don't think that other guy's going to be impressive enough to
I think he will. I mean, who was it? Fucking Coach Trestman last year. The whole Bears thing with Cutler was injured. And who the hell came in?
McCown.
Josh McCown played lights out. Played better. I'm sorry. No one can debate this. Played better than Captain Diabetes did for the 8 weeks he had. The entire time McCown had to be like, oh, when Jay comes back, it's his job. And he came back and they ate balls for, I think, 3 weeks and fucking lost the North in the final day of the year.
See, but McCown's been in the league for a while. So you know that he is not a good quarterback, as we've seen as he started for Tampa Bay these 2 weeks, whereas Cousins is new.
So then with Cousins, at least at that point, then they got to trade him for his value if they're not going to give him a shot if he plays well.
I look at it this way. You don't have to be a great quarterback to just somehow be that right match. You know what I mean? Like, for whatever reason, McCown worked with Trestman in that offense they had. I'm not saying Cousins is some world beater, but maybe, just maybe, that's the chick that works with Gruden. You know what I mean? It's like dating. Yeah. It's somehow this girl who was a fuck-up and cheated on her last 9 boyfriends, she meets you, and suddenly, you know, she's a whore in bed, but doesn't cheat on you. That magic can happen.
I'll say this. I don't think it's out of the question for the Redskins to win their crummy division this year with Cousins at the helm.
Absolutely. Look at Foles. That's all you have to look at. Look at fucking Foles. Look at the season he had last year. Would anyone be like, oh, God, if we only had Foles at the helm? Fuck no. But you look at his numbers, they should be saying that, just objectively looking at his numbers. But yeah, everyone just goes, well, it's some dumb white guy that sits in a fucking pocket and follows the coach's rules. That's all, like, that might be needed of Cousins. White guy, sits in pocket, doesn't blow out joints, throws passes. That might be what the Skins needed. But to get back to your question, there's no way, I don't care how lights out Cousins plays, there's no way they're going to go, well, you know what, really, fuck those 2 first-round picks in the second round, and we're down on this guy. Let's cut him, avoid the debate. Cousins
so they
got to
give
this.
Next year's first rounder too, correct? Or they're done.
No, it's finally over. Oh, they finally, yeah, marched the trail of tears successfully. A normal draft awaits. But it's bad. Real fast, man, because I feel we've hijacked your Buffalo segment. Like, yeah. What was the air? I don't think anyone locally, anyone not in that market can understand. How fucking crazy was it knowing that the team potentially was leaving? I mean, I heard people were losing their goddamn minds when it was finally announced someone was going to come in that was keeping the team there. People were like calling sports radio crying, like crying like fucking bitches.
Yeah, I can believe it because it's a special atmosphere when you go down to Ralph Wilson Stadium. I love it there. I wouldn't want the Bills to be anywhere else.
And you're saying this being a person from Toronto, man. I mean, like, there's the threat constantly of moving the team to Toronto, right?
Yeah, you definitely hear it. But being a fan of the Buffalo Bills my entire life, there's nowhere else where the Bills could be other than Buffalo. It wouldn't be, I don't think it would be half the fun because the games in Toronto.
You've been to the games in Toronto, right?
No, I refuse.
Never.
To go to the game.
Refuse.
Toronto.
Okay. But yeah. What have you heard then? Because the crowd is pretty placid, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I watch them on TV. The sad, pitiful crowd in here. At least you don't usually get that in at the Ralph until maybe week 15, 16 these last couple of years when they've been pretty disappointing.
It's more like being at a Hamilton Ticats game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, man, to be full disclosure, Nate took me to my first CFL game. It was quite a classic match between Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Hamilton Tiger Cats.
They all have the worst names. That's why I love the CFL. We have, what, the Argonauts?
Toronto Argonauts, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember always the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
And believe it or not, so I up until recently, live in Baltimore. Baltimore had a CFL team that won the Grey Cup 1 year.
And back in the day, yeah, and then it contracted.
Well, it didn't contract. Yeah. They moved to Montreal. So
well, that would make sense.
The Alouettes now have Baltimore's Grey Cup.
God, I forgot the fucking Alouettes.
And technically, I went to Osgoode Hall Law School up in Toronto. And technically, they won the Canadian Football Championship in like the 1880s 1 year.
Wow, that's going back.
Yeah.
That's going deeper than a Browns fan has to.
You heard it here first. National champs. There was a law school one time in Canada that just took it from the rest of the country.
You know more about that than I do.
I looked hard, man. I went to Texas undergrad, so you know I'm always like, did the school I'm attending right now win a national title in football? I gotta know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nate, thank you so much, man. We're probably gonna check in with you several weeks from now when all hope is gone. As well as your team. But till then, enjoy the high.
Okay. I'm working on it.
All right, man, take it easy.
It's a new feeling.
Later.
Talk to you later, bye.
See you, Nate.
All right, there you go. Fan in Focus with the man known simply as Nate. We're now going to get into this weekend's games. Howard, you got anything that's on the radar as incredibly meaningful or even just sexy to you?
I like always leading off with what's not sexy, and let's talk about this week's Thursday night game. You got Tampa Bay versus Atlanta. You going to watch that?
I will, because I can. Like, the first half of the year, all the Thursday night games are simulcast on CBS, which, by the way, has turned it from production quality on par with a mediocre YouTube channel to a big event. Like, all of a sudden, you put a good announcing team and just better camera work and even better graphics behind this Thursday night game. It goes from that piece of shit I didn't care about to, holy fuck, I have football again.
I mean, I agree with that as far as it being more attractive looking, but that game itself doesn't really matter to me, so I'm going to pass.
I mean, the one interesting thing is that everyone thought Lovie Smith would come down to Tampa and whip some asses into shape. They're 0-2. Wouldn't shock me if the Falcons beat him at home, for fuck's sake.
Well, the flip is, would you be shocked if Tampa Bay beats Atlanta?
No, hell no.
Yeah, I don't want to watch this game, man. I'm not watching that.
I'll watch it because it's there.
Let me know when one of these two teams decides to prove themselves as a playoff contender this season. That's what I really want to know. And it ain't there yet, and it's not going to be there till a couple weeks from now. So,
it's only interesting because it's divisional and there's nothing else on. For my money, man, of course, I'm a Skins fan, but Skins-Eagles, given who doesn't want to see what Cousins is going to do in his first start?
Yeah, I'm very interested in that because, honestly, there are not a lot of good 1 o'clock games this week. That's probably one of the better ones. Now that we have Adrian Peterson coming back, though, I will say that Minnesota playing New Orleans is worth keeping an eye on. And other than that, the only other 1 o'clock game that's worth looking at to me is Green Bay playing Detroit.
I mean, look, I get excited for everything. NFL. Yeah. It's a rare game that doesn't pique my interest. So I'm going to go the 1 o'clock. You have the Texans at Giants, an unexpected 2-0 out of the Texans.
Oh, fuck
slightly
that, man.
Unexpected 0-2 out of the Giants. I'm sorry.
It's a garbage game.
I'm sorry. If they go 3-0 and 0-3 out of this matchup, it's fascinating. Vikings against the Saints. Similarly, if the Saints drop to 0-3, who the fuck saw that coming? Titans, Bengals, I'll give you that. Not particularly fascinating. Ravens at Browns.
We're going to get that on TV here, though. That's a game, and we got to watch that if you're sitting at home in the D.C. area.
I'll watch it.
All right.
That's definitely my Redskins commercial game.
I mean, to me, like, other than the Redskins game, yeah, I'll watch the Vikings play New Orleans a little bit, and then Green Bay-Detroit. I mean, that's an important in-division game. I really don't know where Green Bay stands right now, and the Lions really need to prove that they can hang with somebody in their division because they just dropped a dud this week.
Yeah, they got spanked. 4 p.m., has a pretty strong slate. I mean, just the first two, your Fox and CBS options. San Fran at the Cardinals. San Francisco, Sunday night, did everything they could to give away that game to the Bears. My God, if you flip to any 2 to 3 plays in a row that you watch, it would look like San Fran was stomping a mud hole in Chicago's ass. And yet somehow, end of the game, they're down 8.
Well, Colin Kaepernick was the reason. I wouldn't say the whole 49ers team let the Bears back in the game. Colin Kaepernick let that team back in.
See, I was half-assed watching it. I came in 2 minutes before Cutler got his fucking ribs collapsed.
Yeah, that was a great play.
And then threw that touchdown 2 seconds afterward. And Kaepernick's running was absurdly good. And for some reason, I was like looking down to text every time he had a turnover. So I didn't know what was going on until I started listening to Al Michaels late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, what the fuck happened? Why do the Bears have it again? They looked so nice. So I can't walk away from that game thinking of Kaepernick as a loser because I only saw him running fucking like Randall Cunningham in his prime. You know what I mean? He looked amazing. But apparently he didn't. Apparently he fucked it up.
Yeah, I think...
4 turnovers, right?
Yeah, I think Arizona's going to have a really good shot against San Fran. That's a really important game for the division.
Oh, do I have a weird hard-on for Arizona? I've always loved them. I've always felt guilty. If you're an NFC East old-time fan, I think you've always felt guilty for back when they were just the slut that the rest of us passed around and, you know, came inside and didn't call back the next day.
So that might be worthwhile. I mean, it's a matter of whether Carson Palmer plays or not is the real question going forward. So
is it?
Yeah.
Is it? A one without him.
But San Francisco's really good, man. That's a good squad. You don't want your backup quarterback showing up for that game.
I guess. Who is it? Is it the guy from Detroit, right? Sean something? Or was it Sean?
No, not him. It's another guy. He's not even worth
Drew
mentioning.
Drew Stanton? I don't know. Who the fuck was it?
Forget his name, man.
Yeah.
It's not even worth it till he actually beats a real team like the 49ers, man. Come on.
Well, that one's got me fascinated. Everyone's
marquee.
Sexy
pick. Matchup, though, yeah.
For 4 p.m., the Broncos return to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. You know what would have made this 100 times more fascinating, though? The Broncos hosting them. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, I think that would have been a little bit more interesting.
You won't be able to pry me off the fucking TV for this thing.
Okay, I'm not really excited about that game, to be
honest.
What?
Get the fuck out. Oh, do I want vengeance for Peyton?
It's gonna be the same story, man.
They lose, but I don't think it'll be nearly the blowout it was.
I don't think they're gonna score very much. I think Denver's gonna play very poorly on offense.
I could see like 27-17, something like that.
17, I'll be stunned if they could score 17, I'll be honest. I mean, you can come and mock me if they actually manage to.
I heard that. They're going to say you can come inside me. I'm like, no, that's what's that. That is humiliation.
No, next week, like, come on the air and, like, you can basically laugh in my face about them scoring 2 touchdowns. I don't see it happening.
Okay. I'll take the 2-touchdown bet. It right now. Will it be forgotten because we hate having any sort of continuity between shows? Oh, yes. But anyone who's listening to this episode, all 2 of you, remind us that I took that bet. Last, we have Steelers at Panthers Sunday night. How the fuck did that, with all that could be on Sunday night, that's what they picked?
Well, Pittsburgh is a perennial playoff.
It's a draw
contender.
Forever. It's the Cowboys. They're the Cowboys of the AFC. They can be shit, and it's still going to get numbers.
It's an important game this early in the season. At least they put it early because we're trying to figure out if...
Man, you're a weirdo saying that's the important one with all the 1 p.m.s you shit on.
No.
It's no better than a 1 p.m.
It's one of the more important games for Pittsburgh because I don't think they're good.
They're not. Fucking Tomlin is counting his days at this point, man.
Big Ben should be counting his days at this point, man. I don't think he's like... he's getting paid a lot of money to play pretty poorly right now.
Who's that offensive coordinator that he fucking hates that's in there now? Is it Todd Haley?
I think that's his name, yeah. Former Kansas City guy, yeah.
Yeah, they brought him in. The guy's just never clicked. The story every offseason is like, oh, I don't hate Todd that much this year. And then guess what? It still doesn't work.
I'm excited to see how Cam Newton can perform in his second week back against that Steelers defense. So that's going to be another nice bellwether to see how good the Panthers are this year.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Even fucking Dick LeBeau is starting to... How old is he? 77?
Yeah, no, he might be 78 now.
Oh, my God, yeah. I think he's like fucking players that he emancipated playing for him. That guy goes back. He is old. But their defense isn't what it used to be either. They look lackluster on both sides.
They're a little long in the tooth, man, yeah.
Yeah, it would not shock me if everything gets blown up except for Big Ben in a year or two.
No, they're not that big on him. The roomies are not that big. They're paying him for past performance right now, but they're very clear about the need for him to produce if he wants to remain a Steeler.
Otherwise, no kidding.
He's going to have to take a pay cut.
No, that is fascinating. In this day and age, the NFL, or maybe I've just been poisoned by Dan Snyder, who would let RG3 mount his wife if it meant him liking me. Please like me, Bob G.
God,
Snyder
can
eat it. Last but not least, Monday night, Bears at Jets. Again, I'll watch it because it's there. Like a fat girl bending over and you see her ass crack. It's in front of me. Whatever.
It's 2 flawed teams that I really want to see how they're developing as the season progresses. I don't envision either of these teams making it to the Super Bowl, but, you know, these are 2 teams that should be competing for playoff spots, so I expect a good game. I really hope Geno and the Jets just stomp Chicago.
Dunt. Sorry.
It sounds, you know.
Benny,
you know me.
Work with me.
I always root for the black quarterback.
Yeah, I do. But apparently they're not all mobile, according to you. That's where I'm a hateful man.
You bastard.
All right, folks. That was Papa's Football Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, pfpod.com, the show's website. Go there. We put up a new episode every week. Howard does power rankings and other bits of writing. And one of these days, we might curate blog posts and put them up there. But in the meantime, it's just a show. I'm John Papagiorgio. You want to see me tweet during games? It's at Papa's Basement. Howard is at What the F and Heezy. You might tweet during games. I don't really know.
One of these days, yeah.
Yeah, one of these days we'll have two pistons firing in this piece of shit that we're driving down the highway to mediocre ratings. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look up Papa's Football Podcast. We're on both. And I guess that's it. So, folks, till the next week, we're out of here.